was like watching cats. Cats spend a lot of time carefully eyeing one another. When they have to fight, that's merely to rubber stamp something that's already been decided in their heads. Nanny knew all this, and she also knew most of the witches to be kind, on the whole, gentle, to the meek, generous, to the deserving — the undeserving got more than they bargained for — and by and large, quite dedicated to a life that really offered more kicks than kisses. Not one of them lived in a house made of confectionery, although some of the conscientious younger ones had experimented with various crisp breads. Even children who deserved it were not slammed into their ovens. Generally, they did what they'd always done, smooth the passage of their neighbours into and out of the world, and help them over some of the nastier hurdles in between. You needed to be a special kind of person to do that. You needed a special kind of ear, because you saw people in circumstances where they were inclined to tell you things, like where the money is buried, or who the father was, or how come they'd got a black eye again. And you needed a special kind of mouth, the sort that stayed shut. Keeping secrets made you powerful. Being powerful earned you respect. Respect was hard currency. And within this sisterhood — except that it wasn't a sisterhood, it was a loose assortment of chronic non-joiners — a group of witches wasn't a coven, it was a small war. There was always this awareness of position. It had nothing to do with anything the other world thought of as status. Nothing was ever said. But if an elderly witch died, the local witches would attend her funeral for a few last words, and then go solemnly home alone, with the little insistent thought at the back of their minds, "I've moved up one." And newcomers were watched very, very carefully. "Morning, Mrs. Ogg," said a voice behind her. "I trust I find you well." "How do you do, Mistress Shimmy?" said Nanny, turning. Her mental filing system threw up a card. "Clarity Shimmy lives over towards Cutshade with her old mum, takes snuff, good with animals. How is your mother keeping?" "We buried her last month, Mrs. Ogg." Nanny Ogg quite liked Clarity, because she didn't see her very often. "Oh, dear," she said. "But I shall tell her you asked after her anyway," said Clarity. She glanced briefly towards the ring. "Who's the fat girl on now?" she asked. "Got a backside on her like a bowling ball on a short seesaw." "That's Agnes Nett. That's a good cursing voice she's got there. You know you've been cursed with a voice like that." "Oh, yes. She's been blessed with a good voice for cursing," said Nanny politely. "Esme Weatherwax and me gave her a few tips," she added. Clarity's head turned. At the far edge of the field, a small pink shape sat alone behind the Lucky Dip. It did not seem to be drawing a big crowd. Clarity leaned closer. "What's she, doing?"
"I don't know," said Nanny. "I think she's decided to be nice about it."
"Esme? Nice about it?"
Yes, said Nanny. It didn't sound any better now she was telling someone. Clarity stared at her. Nanny saw her make a little sign with her left hand and then hurry off. The pointy hats were bunching up now. There were little groups of three or four. You could see the points come together, cluster in animated conversation, and then open out again like a flower and turn towards the distant blob of pinkness. Then a hat would leave that group and head off purposefully to another one, where the process would start all over again. It was a bit like watching very slow nuclear fission. There was a lot of excitement, and soon there would be an explosion. Every so often, someone would turn and look at Nanny, so she hurried away among the sideshows until she fetched up beside the stall of the dwarf Zack Strong in the Arm, maker and purveyor of occult knick-knackery to the more impressionable. He nodded at her cheerfully over the top of a display saying, "Lucky horseshoes, $2 each." "Hello, Mrs. Ogg," he said. Nanny realized she was flustered. "What's lucky about them?" she said, picking up a horseshoe.
"Well, I get $2 each for them," said Strong in the Arm.
"And that makes them lucky?"
"Lucky for me," said Strong in the Arm. "I expect you'll be wanting one too, Mrs. Ogg. I'd have fetched along another box if I'd known they'd be so popular. Some of the ladies are bought too."
There was an inflection to the word ladies.
"Witches have been buying lucky horseshoes," said Nanny.
"Like there's no tomorrow," said Zack.
He frowned for a moment. They had been witches, after all.
There will be, won't there? He added.
I'm very nearly certain of it, said Nanny, which didn't seem to comfort him.
Suddenly been doing a roaring trade in protective herbs, too, said Zack-Zack.
And being a dwarf, which meant that he'd see the flood as a marvellous opportunity to sell towels, he added,
Can I interest you, Mrs. Ogg?
Nanny shook her head. If trouble was going to come from the direction everyone had been looking, then a sprig of rue wasn't going to be much help. A large oak tree'd be better, but only maybe. The atmosphere was changing. The sky was a wide, pale blue, but there was thunder on the horizons of the mind. The witches were uneasy, and with so many in one place, the nervousness was bouncing from one to another, and amplified, rebroadcasting itself to everyone. It meant that even ordinary people who thought that a rune was a dried plum were beginning to feel a deep, existential worry, the kind that causes you to snap at your kids and want a drink. She peered through a gap between a couple of stalls. The pink figure was still sitting patiently, and a little crestfallen, behind a barrel. There was, as it were, a huge queue of no one at all.